All right, taking a look at the men's side of things in the Ivy League, we take a look at the current standings. It's Harvard and Penn at 9-1. You've got the Yale Bulldogs in third place at 5-5 in league play. Brown, Cornell, Columbia all tied at 4-6. Three-way tie for the fourth and final spot. Princeton at 3-7, and then it's the Dartmouth Big Green at 2-8. But how about that three-way tie, Jill, for fourth place? Brown, Cornell, Columbia. I don't think anybody had the Big Red in the running here. Certainly not on this podcast, but it's been a surprising year for the folks in Ithaca. And then Columbia getting back into the swing of things. Brown, a tough weekend, especially tough outing against Dartmouth on Saturday night. It's going to be an interesting finish here for the fourth and final spot.
Absolutely, and you mention it all the time. This is why, you know, the Ivy tournament is such a good thing, because right now Penn and Harvard have clinched the 1-2 spot. So take the tournament out of it. You know, these last four games kind of become irrelevant without this Ivy tournament. So we keep saying it, but, people here in this studio, Jill Glessner, Brett Franklin, we love the fact that the Ivy tournament is here. It's the top four teams. And, Brett, you mentioned that Brown, Cornell, Columbia are all tied at 4-6. And so I believe Cornell wins the tiebreaker.
If the playoffs were today,
Cornell gets that four seed because they have wins over Columbia and Brown. So Columbia, they beat Harvard, which is a higher seed, but the first tiebreaker goes head-to-head.
Interesting. And then you look at, let's take a look at last weekend's results, and we'll start on the Friday night contest, and let's talk about the Cornell Big Red dropping 107 points on the Princeton Tigers. Matt Morgan, what else is new, goes off for 31 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and the Big Red, they have been so good at home, as it's been for most of the Ivy League this season. But when you got the top scorer in the Ivy League, Jill, I mean, anything's possible, and we're seeing it here with Matt Morgan and company.
And he's not just the top scorer in the league. He's the ninth best scorer in the nation.
Wow.
The stat that I read that is unbelievable is that he has now reached double figures 46 consecutive times.
Wow.
And he does it efficiently. I know last week when we were talking about it, he was shooting, 45%+. But like you said, with a player like that, you're always going to be in games. And something about this game in particular, which I thought was awesome, is that Brian Earle's players are quoted after the game saying they knew how much it would mean for him to beat his alma mater. And I just thought that was awesome. And they said that gave him, in those final 10 minutes, gave him an extra added motivation in those overtimes.
It's got to make you feel good as a coach to have that sort of support in the locker room. And Matt Morgan, by the way, averaging 22.6 points per game. And what's interesting about Cornell is they're statistically the worst defensive team in the league. Their opponents are scoring 80 points per game against the Big Red, but here's the other thing. They're just going to outscore you on the other end. I think that's an impressive stat.
And they're kind of a two-headed monster. You know, you have Morgan, and then you have Stone Gettings, who had 26 points in that game. But it's really just, it's the two of them night in, night out that are carrying the Big Red.
Some of the other scores from that Friday night: Harvard beat Brown 65-58. Christian Juzang had 21 points. Tamining Cho had 11 points for the Brown Bears. And again, Harvard's not going to be flashy offensively. They're not going to put up a ton of points, but they are so good defensively, and they really locked down on Brown that Friday night.
You have to give credit to Tommy Amaker, who, filled the void of Aiken going down, and he has a young group who are finally putting it together. I mean, they're probably playing right now the best basketball. They're coming into the weekend on a 5-game win streak.
You look at some of the other scores. Penn survived Columbia 74-62. Devon Goodman had 23 points, 5 rebounds, while Mike Smith led the Lions with 16 points. But I don't care what you say, going into New York City, that's a tough place to win, and Penn does it on the road.
Well, and you love how Steve Donahue, his point guard, wasn't getting it done, and Goodman came in. He had been out of the rotation. He only played, I think, 4 minutes the first time they played Columbia, and he came in and gave 23 points. And so credit Steve Donahue and the culture that he's created, that it's just a next man up mentality. And even if you haven't played the night before, when your number's called, they're going to be ready to play.
And a game we called on the Ivy League network, it was Yale defeating Dartmouth 77-64, an impressive shooting performance from the Bulldogs in Hanover.
It was impressive shooting performance. I mean, their offense was some of the best that I've seen.
You were impressed having now seen the Bulldogs in person. You're buying into the Bulldogs.
I mean, because they get great shots. They shoot so efficiently. They're the top in the league in field goal percentage. And it's because they're making that extra pass. And Dartmouth had a hard time getting on the closeouts, closing out shooters, and they had a hard time in the ball screen defense. And so it wasn't just Yale who was shooting the ball really well. Dartmouth, I mean, Brett, we talked about it. They just came out with no energy, and that's very uncharacteristic of a David McLaughlin Dartmouth team.
Looking at Saturday night, you've got the Saturday night contest, and we'll start with Penn and Cornell. Quakers coming away with a 79-71 victory. Like we said, Ithaca has been a tough place to play, but A.J. Broder led the way with 21 points. Cornell had Terrence McBride lead him with 14 points. So after that big three overtime game the night before, it seemed to have caught up to Cornell, but Penn comes away with the victory.
Yeah, I mean, there was players that played 55 minutes than 24 hours before. So I think, but the fact that they competed against, you know, a team that's tied for first in the league, I think Brian Earl's got to be happy with the overall weekend results.
Dartmouth came away with a 66-63 win over Brown. A devastating weekend for the Brown Bears, especially, I think, on that Saturday night, a game that Dartmouth was up by as much as 15 early in that game, and then all of a sudden Brown comes back. But wasn't a big night for Brandon Anderson. You pointed it out on the broadcast. He took a shot to the face early in that game, and he wasn't – it was like across the bridge of the nose. He wasn't the same after that. Devin Cambridge was
– who was coming off of an injury as well.
Right, and he had 13 points. I mean, Dartmouth did a great job isolating those two, and Dartmouth ended up pulling away in that second half. But Bears struggled shooting all night. It was a struggle for Mike Martin's crew.
It sure was, but Brett, we have to talk about just the dominance of Chris Knight from Dartmouth.
Yes.
I mean, he had 16 second half points, 10 of their final 12 points, and he's a freshman, but he was getting it done. He was spinning out of double teams. He was putting the ball on the floor, getting to the rack. And so if you're a Big Green fan, you got to love the future of this program with a player of Chris Knight's caliber who earned him Rookie of the Week.
He had 18 points and 8 rebounds for the Big Green. It was a quality win for Dartmouth at home. The Columbia Lions get a convincing 85-60 win over the Princeton Tigers. Again, we could say the same thing as we said for Cornell Tigers, just let it all out in that three overtime game. And Jim Engel's crew proves to be hard to play in New York City.
Yep, especially at home. They shoot the ball well. They got some really good three-point shooters. You know, you have Quentin Adlash. He's 48.5% from three. They averaged a little over 10 threes made per game, which is 17th in the country, Brett. So, you know, they might be a team that's living and dying by the three, but they're living by the three at home in New York City.
Kyle Castlin at 22 for the Powder Blue as they go on to win and go to 4-6 in Ivy play. And then it was the late contest, Harvard and Yale on ESPNU national TV. And, well, it was all Harvard. I mean, we talk about, you know, how they do it defensively, and even though offensively they're not going to blow you away, they did in that game. They went out to a huge run. Yale couldn't shoot the ball at all after we talked about how well they shot it on Friday night. It was just a weird game. But I think the bright spot for Yale, obviously Makai Mason came back, contributed, but convincing win for Harvard as they continue to improve and only get stronger as we go to tournament play.
Well, and I think the difference between those two games and, you know, Dartmouth's defense is nowhere near the level of Harvard's defense. I mean, Harvard held the teams to under 50 points all season.
Harvard number 28 in points allowed this season in the country.
And again, like you said, Yale hanging on to Mason was back. You know, he played a handful of minutes, but they've been able to score. They've been able to put offense together without him. So having him, you know, for this last stretch and potentially into the tournament is only going to help them.
All right, let's look at this weekend's contest, Jill, as we will start on the Friday night contest. And we'll big matchup, New York City. We'll just lead off with that. Brown and Columbia, the two teams that are part of that three-way tie for the fourth and final playoff spot. I'm going to give a slight edge here to the Lions because they have been very tough at home, but monster game to start this weekend.
I'm with you. I'm taking the Lions. And I think it's, you know, we have to note that if you're looking at Brown, 9 out of their 10 Ivy games were decided by single digits. So, I mean, I'm expecting it to be a close game.
Looking at some of the other contests, Yale is at Cornell. I think it's been a tough place to play.
Mekhi Mason's back. He's going to get them a win.
Yale take the Bulldogs. Wow. And looking at some of the other contests, 7 o'clock tip-off at the Palestra. Dartmouth at Penn. Dartmouth played Penn tough here in Hanover. They swept it last year, but the Quakers have a lot to play for in trying to get that number one seed.
I would like to think that Dartmouth can pull off the win, but I think Penn is playing really well. But credit, I mean, Dartmouth competed with them. It was 64-61 as a three-point game. Dartmouth just didn't shoot the ball well. They shot 28% in game one, you know, but they have had success at the Palestra. So I think it's going to be a close game, but I'm giving the edge to Penn.
Harvard at Princeton. Tigers desperately need a win here. I mean, this has just been a streak that we haven't seen quite some times as far as struggling. But Harvard, how are they on the road here? And this should be a weekend, or going into that Saturday contest against Penn, where Harvard should be able to kind of get things right.
Well, despite Princeton being on this, you know, six-game Ivy skid, I did read somewhere that Princeton's actually favored in this game, which I think is interesting.
Interesting. Looking at the line here, Harvard by one, which... there you go. Okay, maybe that's what the Sharks are thinking out there.
Interesting.
Looking at Saturday's contest, we'll start with the 6 o'clock games. Brown is at Cornell in Ithaca. I like the big red in this one, just being at home. But again, knowing what that Friday night contest, you just don't know.
I think I'm going to go with Brown because Cornell got the best of Brown in game one, and I think that they're going to split for the season.
Dartmouth is at Princeton at Jadwin Gymnasium.
I'm going to have to go with Princeton. I think if they want to have any chance, they got to string together a sweep this weekend.
Still mathematically a possibility here for Dartmouth, but obviously, like Jill said, they'll need some help. Looking at Princeton, I mean, they just didn't shoot the ball very well up here in Hanover. And second half, the offense was just nowhere to be found. Maybe they'll find a little better home cooking in New Jersey. This is the big one. Harvard at Penn at the Palestra. And again, first place on the line here. Harvard right now has the tiebreaker, but for Penn to kind of stay alive and hopefully try and get that one seed. What do you see here?
I'm going to have to pick Penn. I mean, Harvard did get the best of them in game one, but Penn defends really well, especially from behind the arc. Their opponents are shooting 29% from the three, which makes that fourth in the country. So I think, you know, Harvard, who, again, their defense has been carrying them. But at home, I'm going with Penn.
And the final contest at 8:30, Columbia and Yale. I think this is going to be the sneaky good game of the weekend.
I agree with you. Who are you going with?
Oh, boy. I think Yale is a little bit more athletic. I don't think they're going to shoot the ball as badly as they did against Harvard. I think that was just kind of an anomaly we saw. So I'll take Yale, but I think it's going to be a close one in the Lions' den.
I'm going to choose Yale, too. Again, in Mason, we trust.
And I like me some Mione as well.
You just like saying his name.
It is fun. After butchering it the first go around this season, we finally got it. Mione, fun to watch. That's your
fun to say.
Yes, as well. That's the men's wrap up here on Inside Ivy Hoops.